Call to order, the Bethel Township, Miami County, Ohio Board of Zoning Appeals, Thursday, February 26, 2026, at 6:30 PM. Here in the Township Meeting House, or Meeting Room, 8735 South Second Street, Brant, Tip City, Ohio. Call to order. Mrs. Hughes?
Yes.
Mrs. O'Quinn?
Yes.
Mrs. Kiplinger?
Yes.
Mr. Stouter?
Yes.
Mr. Leskowitz?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim. Review of the process. I'll turn it over to Nikki.
Okay. Opening statement for this meeting. This body is...
Introductions. Mm-hmm. Introductions.
Introduction, okay. All right, my name is Nikki O'Quinn, Chairman of the BZA, for the person.
Jim Leskowitz, member.
Donna Hughes, member.
Rachel Kiplinger, member.
I'm Janice Royce, I'm the secretary for this right now.
Today,
right, not all the time.
Secretary Pro Tem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this body is a quasi-judicial board. This board does not answer to the Bethel Township trustees, and once a decision is made, it can only be appealed through the Miami County Common Pleas Court. All legal notices for cases being heard tonight were advertised on the township website and social media pages and sent to relevant residences. Testimony on the cases is sworn and can be used in court proceedings. The chairperson will call for testimony describing the case, supporting the case, and against the case in turn. All testimony must be directed to the board and may not be directed to the applicant or any other audience member. Unless tabled, an approval of the case will allow the variance or conditional use to take effect within 10 days. Ohio Revised Code Section 519.14 grants this body the responsibility to authorize, upon appeal, in specific cases, such variance from the terms of the zoning resolution as will not be contrary to the public interest, where, owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of a resolution will result in unnecessary hardship, and so that the spirit of the resolution shall be observed and substantial justice done. Bethel Township policy as pulled from the variance application form. Please note, in order for a variance to be granted, the applicant must prove to the Board of Zoning Appeals that the following items are true. Special conditions exist peculiar to the land or building in question. The literal interpretation of the zoning resolution would deprive the applicant of the rights enjoyed by other property owners, that the special conditions do not result from previous actions of the applicant, that the requested variance is the minimum variance that will allow a reasonable use of the land or buildings. The meeting will be conducted as follows. Staff, Janice will present, read each case for this meeting one at a time. The applicant or representative thereof will be asked to come to the podium, state their name and address, and be sworn in. The applicant can add comments or information to their request. Board members will ask the applicant and or staff questions regarding the case if they have any. Comments will be open to those in support of the case. Each speaker will be asked to come to the podium, state their name and address, and be sworn in. Comments will be open to those in opposition of the case. Each speaker will be asked to come to the podium, state their name and address, and be sworn in. Finally, the discussion for both the public comments and applicant comments will be closed. The board will deliberate and present the motion for the case, and a vote will be taken. Staff will discuss the next steps once the outcome of the case has resulted in approval, denial, or otherwise. The next case will then be presented in the same fashion until all cases have been completed for the meeting. The minutes for the previous meeting will be reviewed and approved or corrected at the end of the meeting. All right. For anybody who is going to speak, The oath for swearing in will be on the podium. All right, let's go with the first case.
Okay, case V0126. A request from Devin Ziegler, 7950 Singer Road, for 1,000 extra square foot variance. And the height variance of 16 foot for a pole barn. Bethel Township zoning article 3005 states up to 2 accessory buildings are permitted with a maximum square footage of 1,400 square foot. Side setback minimum of 10 foot, rear 5 foot. Article 504 notes that if the accessory building is taller than the residence, it must be placed to the rear and at least 20 foot from the residence. Is pertaining to Miami County parcel ID AO1-084802, consists of 0.81 acres, and the zoning is R1 AAA, one family residential.
All right, you're the applicant?
Yes, ma'am.
If you will read the swearing in there.
Okay. I, Devin Ziegler, do swear that the testimony I give in the case now in hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Great. So, anybody want to open with questions?
I do. We have 3 questions. 1, how much square footage is your house combined with the barn that you want to put in would leave how much green space? 2, why do you need such a large, high building? And 3, is it far enough from the house to have that that accords with the 20 feet? So thank you for listening.
Yes, I believe the house is right at 1550 square foot, and then the garage might be 150 or 200, and then with the 2400, sure what that would equal to as far as the remaining green space.
I'm going to interrupt you just a minute because okay. I had those same questions and I did the math.
Okay, thank you.
I had those same questions. I did the math. Total on your house, 60, you said 60 by 37 and you're out. 2,200 square feet. The barn, 2,400. Your 0.81 acre lot is 34,848 square feet. So your proposed barn would take up 6.8%, and the house takes up 6.3%. Well within the percentage of coverage.
Okay.
I'll answer the rest of the questions.
Okay.
Thank you for the math.
The second question was why the square footage?
Why so large and high?
My family likes to camp a lot. I have a 40-foot-long travel trailer. We all know Ohio is pretty prone for tornadoes and bad weather and stuff. So I mainly wanted to be able to store my personal belongings in there. And then as far as the height, same reason. The camper's right at 12 foot tall, so I would need, you know, a 14 foot tall door to be able to get that into the building.
How big is your trailer?
It's right at 36 foot from front to
do
back.
Math.
It's 36 feet long, that's why he needs a 40 foot long barn. Or he needs the 60 square foot big barn to store the trailer and belongings. All right. So he's got essentially a 40 foot trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's, you said, 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
And how far was the barn behind the house?
From the very south of the house, the rear, the front of the barn, I would like to have it 60 foot away. So there'd be 60 foot separation between the barn and the house.
So that does the 20 foot.
That takes care of your 20 foot.
So the height does not matter at this time then, right?
As long as it's behind the house. It has to be that far behind the house. For the height. Which is. All right. I just have one question for clarification. You say it's a 16-foot building. That's to the top of the gable, correct?
Yes.
Okay, because it said to the top of the wall, and I'm like...
No, it's not.
Do we mean the gable wall, or we mean the...
The top of the wall, 16 foot.
Oh, I'm sorry, the top of the wall, so the gable would be...
Just another 4 feet.
Another six foot, roughly, so it would be at 22 to 23 foot.
So it's 22 feet high?
To the top of the gable. And that you're not planning on adding any... This barn is just a barn, no side overhangs or anything like that?
A small one, 8x20, I would like, just for a patio.
You said it's 8x20?
8x24 is what I had an estimate for.
8x20, so that's another 160 square feet?
Yeah.
If I'm doing my math right? Do I need to get a calculator?
So you did not put that on the petition for the patio?
I did not.
For the concrete?
No, I apologize. And if I need to remove that completely from my plans, I can do so.
Did you provide a site plan? Or just the picture with the square?
Just the picture.
No, there is a little bit of a drawing. There's a drawing.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so that was just kind of a hand drawn.
I say it's not the scale, but...
What?
Because your barn is bigger than your house.
Yeah. I didn't know how precise it is.
So I'm going to ask you, where are you going to put that patio?
It would be on the northwest corner.
Can you touch the screen for us so we know?
Sure.
Okay, so it's just wanting to make sure that it wasn't an encroach on your 10 foot.
No, it would be on my side.
All right.
How wide would it have to be to conform with 14 square feet?
For...
Because the length, I know he has to have the length.
Can we do the length? Are we talking about patio?
For the patio.
No, for the, I'm sorry, I'm back inside the barn with his travel trailer. It's 36 feet long, you said?
Yeah, and he's got 40.
So that would be the thing.
So the one question I have... Driveways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you're going to be putting in a driveway.
Yes. So as of currently, I have concrete from Singer Road up to my driveway on the northeast corner, and I have gravel going around to the rear right now, which is where I currently park my camper. And it would just be graveled all the way up to the building.
Okay.
Will you make another driveway, because that tree is really close to your house? And by the way, you have a beautiful door.
Thank you.
Thank you. But I noticed how close the tree was to the driveway.
Yeah.
How skillful are you to manage around that? Are we going to be getting another entrance around the tree to the south of the tree?
Nope. I rented a scissor lift this past summer, and I trimmed that tree up pretty well. I pull that camper in and out numerous times throughout the year. So.
He's putting the barn way back there.
So how much more driveway would you need? Because it looks like on the map I'm looking at, it looks like you've already got a pretty good one there.
Yeah.
So it would just 20.
I want to say. From the very rear of my house, my camper can be fully behind that currently with the gravel that I have
okay. There.
So, and I'm proposing to go 60 foot with the front of the building from the rear of the house. Honestly, I wouldn't need a whole lot more gravel or the driveway extension
gotcha.
Than what I already
yeah.
have.
30. This picture's slightly dated compared to.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 20 to 40 foot.
Yeah. Roll-up doors are on the short side, as I call it.
The north side.
Hmm?
North side.
All
So I have a question. So one of the things is that there's a hardship. What's the hardship?
Can you simplify it for me? What?
So one of the things that you have to prove is that there's a hard, if you don't get this variance, there's a hardship. That it would be a hardship.
So if you just went with a 1,400 square foot barn, what did you not do? Like, why do you need the extra 1,000 feet? Is what that is.
I mean, probably I would only be able to pull my camper in there if I didn't have the extra square footage. Mm-hmm. I don't have a place for my personal truck currently. We get storms often, so I would like to pull both my belongings in there without taking the chances of, you know, tornado damage or hail damage. And I'd also like enough space to go change oils and stuff on any of my wife's vehicles. Eventually. But it would just be for storage. I would like to concrete it, but.
So there's no other outbuildings on your lot?
On the very west side, I do have a shed that was there when we bought the property. I can get rid of that if needed to. I know it's taking up some green space.
Well, yeah. It also comes into square footage.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if it's in good shape or bad shape.
It's pretty decent still.
Because you're looking at whatever square footage is under that shed plus your to-be-built barn.
Yeah.
That counts as your overall, but like I said, you're only using 6-7%. You're allowed 30% and 35%. So you're well within the percentages for.
But he's well over the allowed amount.
The allowed square footage.
Very, very far over the allowed amount.
Another question. I'm sorry. What about the water displacement? Which way does the water run?
Water runs toward the south. I actually have a map here that I brought with me, and if everything went as planned, I would have full intentions on running downspouts to the rear to go into the natural swell.
I had to make a swell, so I understand that. So there's no water going to be running off onto the neighbors?
No, ma'am. It would certainly be a better system.
At least hope not.
I'm assuming this is not on city sewer, this is a septic?
Well, yes.
Septic, yeah.
Yes.
And your leach field is?
In the front of the house.
You said the trailer is 36 feet long. How wide? 12 feet, 14 feet?
No, not that wide. It's just a travel trailer, I'd say. It has to go down the highway, so.
That's what on the highway it can be.
Maybe
8
or
9
foot, maybe.
Feet.
No wider than 10.
12 feet would take up the entire lane, so it has to be less than 12 feet wide. So.
Could help him out and he can shove that shed over my yard.
If you wish to talk, you have to be sworn in and come in front of the board, please.
The reason I'm asking that is seeing how we can conform it to the as close to the 1,400 as we can, knowing that you want to be able to park your trucks and whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody behind you because I'm looking at the work the other people done. What is the most minimum in the width can you go?
The width, 40 foot would be nice.
So you have the trailer's 10 feet, you want 2 feet on the door, 2 feet, then 10 feet, and then you want to have your trucks. So
yeah.
So will you be having two doors or just one door?
Two doors.
Okay.
That way the camper could be pulled in and let sit for the winter, and then I can still have access on one side.
You can go back and forth. Okay. What is the minimum width you could deal with in doing all, parking your vehicles or doing your, because you can change your oil, whatever. Is it 60 feet wide or
40 feet wide.
Right, and 60 feet long. So if it's 36 feet and it's 60 foot long, I had that wrong. Can you shorten the 60 feet to get closer to the 1400? And still get your track, you know, because the width will be there.
Yeah.
Because what I'm trying to say is because we have a rule of 1400 feet, and I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to do that too, but I can't. But I want to make it as close to the 1400 as we can. So the width would have to be shortened to a company. I don't want you any shorter than 40 feet for your travel trailer.
Yeah, if it was around 40 foot, I wouldn't be able to get it in there.
Right, so 40 foot is that for that length. And how wide would you need for your truck? Another 12 feet, 14 feet?
Give or take.
So we're 12, 14, 26 feet. Could you get by with 30 feet? Do the math for me, Nikki. Please. Hmm?
Yeah. That one. So you're talking 30 by 60
40 by
1800 square feet.
40 by 1800.
30 by 60 is 1800.
If
you, is 1800 if you cut the width down there.
Would you still be able to get your trucks in there? And that would that only be 30 feet
wide? Yes.
And that would get it closer to 1400. What would you say it was?
1800.
Instead of 2400.
Another reason I asked for the square footage is we're the only slab house on the stretch on Singers. We have no good place for storage besides the attic. We have also had to contain with why I wanted a little extra, so I have some storage for holiday stuff.
Well, you want storage for your man stuff too.
Well, yeah.
Questions for the applicant? Okay, sir, if you'll have a seat, we will open the floor for people who would like to speak in support of this resolution or this variance. Anybody who'd like to speak in support?
Support for it?
Support for the variance.
Yeah, I do. You gotta come up there.
You gotta come up there, you gotta swear in.
Yeah. Excuse me. Can you state my name?
Read that on the podium, Andrew.
All right. My name is Ronald Gentry. I swear the testimony I'm giving in the case is hearing shall be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Where do you live? It asks for
7980 Singer Road, next door.
All right, thank you.
I live right next door to it.
Okay. What would you like to say in support?
I mean, I don't have an issue with him having whatever size barn he wants or even how high it is. I mean, you know, I've got my barn, and some of the other neighbors has their barns. You know, we built their barns in the last probably 7, 8, 9 years. You know, it's a nice place out that way, and they got a great family. I mean, nice family next door to have a good for a neighbor, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't see any issue unless you guys have an issue, but I don't, like he says, he's pretty good about the getting rid of the water, you know what I mean? And we do nothing in the back of our house and nothing but a cornfield. So it won't interfere with me at all.
Isn't that park land behind you? Is that a farm?
Behind us? Really, it's a cornfield, and then there's a ranch house on the back part, pretty far back. But back behind our house is actually just a wide open cornfield.
So it's just a farm.
Yeah, it's just open field.
And so when
you've got
a
swale there for drainage.
Yeah, I was just wondering how far the park land comes over.
That's not
well, the park. That's nowhere near the parkland.
Okay.
Yeah, we're way far from parkland.
Yeah, there's no parkland out that way. way that I saw.
And well, there was a horse barn for the park, with Five Rivers Park.
That's that's on down, that's way down to, really, there's nothing there in the way. There's like woods there a little bit. Like I say, I've lived there for 18 years. I bought my house 18 years ago. And I don't have an issue with it. I mean, it ain't bothering me. I don't try to stop nobody from building anything if it ain't, you know, for progress anyway.
Yep.
So, I'm throwing my support towards you.
All right.
There you have it.
Can I ask a question?
Sir,
can I ask a question?
Sir, please have a...
Oh, you want to ask me a question?
I do.
Okay.
How big a building did you build?
I built a 30 by 40.
30 by 40?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How
tall a sidewall?
The
height of the sidewall, how big an overhead door?
Probably 12 feet. Probably 12 feet.
10-foot doors on the front of them?
I got a 7-foot door.
7-foot doors.
Yep. 7-foot something.
Okay.
Yeah. I could have built one bigger, but at the time I just needed 7-foot storage in mind.
Right.
You know. So.
Thank you.
So you're in compliant then?
Me, huh?
You were in compliant when
you
built
it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I didn't ask for anything extra, nothing. I just put it on there.
You didn't have a big camper trailer.
Yeah. Is that
all
it?
Right.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very
much.
Is
there somebody else you would like to speak in support of the current?
My $50.
Anybody speak in support? All right.
I, Mary Ann Layton, do swear that the testimony I give in the case now and hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I don't know this young man, but everybody needs a lawn. And it was just a little bit over. His neighbors have gardens, and they don't have any problem with it. Years ago, someone in the community that recently passed away, we had a house trailer on a property. And the time was up, and he went because it was in his backyard, as you can see. And he said, I don't have it's in the backyard. I don't have any problem with it. And so please let him build his barn. Thanks.
All right, anybody else to speak in support of?
I would. My name is James Preston. I live at 6433 South Rudy Road. And I, James Preston, do swear that the testimony I give in the case now in hearing shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm in support of it due to I've lived my whole life out here in Bethel. And I think one of the appealing things about living out here in the country is the opportunity to do what you, I don't want to say do what you want on your property, but if the means enable him to build a building out there to help support his hobbies and store his belongings in a safe manner, I would just find it hard for anyone to object that. Like I said, I've lived here my whole life. I know dozens of people that have built nice shops. It does nothing but improve the value of our properties out here. He has the support of all of his surrounding neighbors. I am going to be in a similar situation soon to file a variance for my shop. I would like to build on my land. So I just feel like it's... I'd like to hear someone's objection to why someone who wants to keep their property nice, store their things inside to keep the value of those, why someone would object that. Thank you.
Great.
If you have any questions.
Nope.
Well,
I have a feeling you're going to get to hear the other side. All right, anybody else who wants to speak in support of? will open the floor for those who would like to speak in opposition of this variance. Anybody speak in opposition? Well, that was quick. All right, we will close the floor for opposition and public comment. The board will deliberate.
I'm a yes. In general, I don't think, I mean, I would rather people store their things inside than see it in the yards. One of the efforts in the township over the past year especially has been to clean up the outside. I don't see any reason why this would be opposed. The 1,000 square feet on a 3,500 square foot lot is not that much. I don't see an issue.
Well, I don't think we're taking a
We're not. I'm just saying in general. That's my thoughts.
Well, I mean, my thoughts is it's 1,000 square foot over. It's a lot. On a small lot, and you can rent spaces to store your RV. So that, I mean, that's, those are just the other side.
I also see his point, not just for the RV. He has no basement.
But he could do a 1,400 square foot building just for his things.
But the 1,400 square foot building, you could fit that RV.
I think that my thought was that as a township, we were trying to be more in compliance with our goals. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, again, it's like if we have to start somewhere, and continuing to allow overages on buildings will continue to bring these in. And that's my thought. I get that he wants a barn. I don't have a problem with him if he wants a barn, but I don't think it needs to be a 1,000 square foot over what is allowed. You can have a 1,400 square foot barn.
I have some questions.
For us?
To discuss among us. 32 feet wide would be cramped. 40 by 40 would be nice. It would be only 200 feet, square feet over. And that we give him plenty of room to put his little patio on there and the overhang. We set a rule of having 1,400 square feet in the past with availability to hear their side, and we discuss it. I do not want to give a 40 by 60 variance. Because I was figuring that 10 wide for the motorhome, 2 feet on the south side, 20 feet on the west side for his trucks coming in and out with the doors. So that was 32 feet, and I said, okay, let's make it 40-40. Because I think 40...
1,600.
That's 1,600, that's 200 square feet over. Or 36 by 40. But I don't want the 60 by 40.
I mean, 800 square feet.
1,400
square feet. I understand what the difference would be if we went for 1,600 square. I think that's... Do we really want to know people's lives like this? I mean, that's the
BCA.
That's what the BCA does. That is why we're here. We're here to make these
right
decisions. The difference, 1,400 square foot is probably not going to do the job for what he has. And it's unfortunate that they made those lots as small as they did, but it's still a small portion of his lot that's going to be covered. His neighbors find that was the main one that I wanted to hear, because if there was an issue there, I could see it, but. Do you have thoughts?
I guess, as being one of the newest members of the BZA, we were asked to go through all of the zoning, and if we thought that that was an acceptable size of a building, we should have changed it then. I don't think anybody had that when we went around the room and discussed that. So.
Certainly not for under an acre lot.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the height of the building is also
taller than the house.
Well, the height, as long as it's far enough back, it's
still taller than the house.
36
by 40 is 1440. 38 by 40 is 1420.
We had asked too, because once you start getting into custom size like that, the prices tend to go up. So, I'm not.
And that's why I picked 40 by 40.
40 by 60. Oh, you picked 40 by 40.
He did pick it. I picked 40 by 40. And that would get him closer to the 1400.
But it's still over what, I get that it's not as much over, but, you know, I think there's, it's still non-compliant at 200 over.
I was incorrect. 48 by 30 is 17. My math is bad.
Plus he's going to put an overhang on it.
Not
which technically.
Not necessarily.
Well, he said he was.
He said he would like to. It's not on the plan.
But really, we don't even have a plan. So technically, we don't have a scaled plan, which is, again, my understanding is one of the things that they should be presenting.
I like the idea that he has already taken care of the water thing like that. And I also agree, I love barns. When Tom and I look at homes, we don't look at the house, we look at how many barns they got on, how many buildings they got on, what kind of doors on the barn. But those people had larger lots, unfortunately.
Can
I ask him a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I love barns. Mm-hmm. Why do you want it so wide? Because the trailer would be like 30, 12 feet. And I said 20 feet for your truck and the other side. I'm getting 32 feet wide. Why would you want it 60?
Whoops. What do you mean you're getting 32 foot wide?
What?
60 long.
It's 60 foot long.
Is it long or wide?
Long. 60 long.
40
long.
Wide.
40 wide.
Never mind. I don't want the length. 40 wide would be hold the trailer, yeah. So where are you going to put your, it's going to be 40 feet wide,
mm-hmm.
60 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
Your trailer, your motorhome will take about, say, 15 feet. And that would leave you 45 feet wide. Am I saying that right or wrong?
I'm only asking for 40 foot wide totals.
She's only 40 foot. Okay.
So it's 25.
So you're gonna park.
So
how are you gonna get your trucks in there?
Well, I have a second door.
Second door.
That's why I'm asking
for
the width.
You're having like a 10 foot wide door.
Yeah. 40 foot.
and then another, the second door is going to be.
Oh, I misunderstood. I still want to.
So what's with the doors? I would like to get are 12x14 tall to give me enough clearance of air conditioners and all that.
For the trailer.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're going to have two doors that size?
Yeah, unless, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of maintenance to owning a camper, like not just taking it and paying a lot fee and everything, and then having to get it after work to enjoy the weekend with the children. I'm on top of that roof. My neighbors could probably verify that. I'm on top of that roof twice a year, reselling it. I mean, it'd be a huge inconvenience to have to take it somewhere to store it, and then, you know, bring it home every time we want to take it out and pack it up and.
Great. Thank you. Any more discussion? All right. I will make a motion to approve both variances.
I'll second.
Let's call a vote.
Mr. Stouter, second.
Who was the second?
I was.
Mr. Stouter. Case B0126, Devin Ziegler, 7950 Singer Road, for 1,000 extra square feet variance and a height variance from 16 foot for a pole barn, which is the zoning is now R1A, and the exhibits were A, Bethel Township zoning map, B, the aerial vicinity map, C, the street map, the street view, D, the application, and E, the synopsis of the case. And we have the vote. Mrs. Hughes?
No.
Mrs. O'Quinn? Mrs.
Yes.
O'Quinn? Okay. Mrs. Keplinger?
No.
Mr. Stouter?
Yes.
And Mr. Leskowitz?
No.
Three no's, two yeas.
Before we go any further,
pass.
Kit. Is he barred from coming back with a different plan for 6 months, 12 months?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's 1 year for a variance.
12 months.
Does he want us to make that decision today?
Because if we've been made, the roll's been called.
The roll's been called.
Yes. Variance was denied. Case CU0126. A request.
For those people who are here for the first case, you do not have to stay here for the second case.
Okay. I'll give you
unless
some time
you want
to
leave. I don't want to discourage anybody's participating. All right.
Are we ready?
This case on the
second case of the evening to be conditional use 0126. Request from United Rental for a conditional use for a retail business in a multi-tenant property located at 8765 State Route 201, Tip City, Ohio. This is a 5.017 acre parcel, currently zoned I-1 light industrial. It is in Miami County, and the parcel number is A01-048265.
Chairman O'Quinn?
Yes, sir.
This Chris Edwin with Miami County Prosecutor's Office. I would just like to make sure the record reflects that I guess Board Member Stouter has is either recusing himself or has left the meeting, so just indicates the remaining members of the board will be hearing this matter.
He was not here when we started this case.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. The reason is fine. I just wanted to make sure the record reflects
right.
That what I guess there's only four members of the board
yeah.
present. But I'm sure that still constitutes a quorum under board
rules.
We
have a quorum.
I'm sorry, did you identify yourself? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, Christopher L. Englert, Chief Civil Assistant Prosecutor from the Miami County Prosecutor's Office, under Prosecuting Attorney Paul M. Watkins.
I think you still have to be sworn in.
Sorry?
You still have to be sworn in, sir.
I don't believe I have to be sworn in
okay,
to get the
I
board
don't
legal.
Know. I
oh, no, never hurts to ask. Now, if I was interpreting the evidence for the board or advocating for the evidence or providing additional evidence, but that was...
Okay.
Actually,
well,
the request
sure
that the record.
I thought we'd say.
I've actually, just so it's clear, the prosecuting, Miami County Prosecuting Attorney's Office represents the Bethel Township Board of
mm-hmm.
Zoning Appeals, as it does the Bethel Township Trustees in legal matters.
And you're from Montgomery County?
Miami County.
You're from Miami County.
Miami County Prosecutor's Office. And I do reside in Troy, so. I guess both, yes to both, Miami County.
All right. I'd like to hear from the applicant.
Good evening. Mm-hmm. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Bakadur Tarana.
I say, swear yourself. We have to swear you guys in.
I'm Bakadur Tarana. I do swear that the testimony I give in the case now in hearing shall to be truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth.
My name's Andrew Stewart. I'm an attorney with Stewart Lawyers in Tip City, and I'm here tonight representing the property owner, which is actually Skyline Express. But Mr. Turanov actually owns Skyline Express. So that's why he's here. And he flew in from Washington State specifically for the meeting tonight and to address some of the issues we have, or we think we have at the property.
How was your grandfather?
He passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So before we begin, if with the indulgence of the board, I'd like to make a quick statement, if that's okay. I began my involvement with Mr. Bakadir regarding the zoning issues back on the 16th of this month. So I've had about, 8 days to try to get a handle on what's going on. And since that time, I've reviewed the Bethel Township 2018 zoning resolution, the 2019 zoning code, the applicable sections of the Ohio Revised Code as they pertain to board conduct, and what he intends to do with the property. I've listened to the audio of the January 29th meeting. I've reviewed a number of limited documents that I've been given by my client, as well as another agent that he has, the real estate agent, Donna Elko, who I believe you folks interacted with back in January. I've reviewed some email communications about some alleged property violations. And I've been apprised of some conversations that my client has had with officials of Bethel Township regarding some of those alleged property violations. I visited the property twice, most recently this morning at 9 o'clock when I was out there. And I was not involved in the meeting, but I was informed that I think one of the trustees might have been there talking to my client about some issues with the property. And the topic of some property violations was brought up. I've also requested a meeting with township officials to discuss the matter. And I'm glad to see that Mr. Englert is here tonight because I reached out to him to try to schedule a meeting, the purpose of which is to try to figure out what's going on with the property. I'm obviously aware that we're here tonight on an application for a conditional use permit, but I've been told that there are a number of outstanding violations that might impede or inhibit this board from granting that application. And so with that in mind, one of the things I would like to do is request that the board table this application for no less than 30 days because I have not been able to get the information that I need to adequately represent Mr. Turanov in this matter. Both of us have a lot of confusion about whether there are any violations with the property because he's only received notice, written notice as required under Resolution 2.03 of one violation. That was a junkyard violation. I think it's specified in your, in the, whatever's in the, you know, preparation for tonight, the packet of information in 2005, which we thought had been remedied, but we've been since informed that maybe that hasn't been the case. And so if the issue with one of the issues or the primary issue with, that the board has with Mr. Turanov and this conditional use application is current violations, there's no way for us to address that at this time because we haven't really received any written notifications of violations. And specifically what we need to do to get the property in compliance. And with that said, I want to make it clear that Mr. Turanov fully intends to get into compliance with township resolutions for zoning. He's not here to fight, not here to oppose anything, not here to try to make things more difficult. The first thing we want to do is try to resolve any confusion or uncertainty as to what the real issues are with the property before looking at the conditional use permit. So our first request is that the board would consider tabling this application. If, however, the board decides that maybe they don't want to table it, or if they take a vote on that and they decide no, then I think it's relevant to say that the circumstances that prompted this conditional use application was the idea that there was going to be a lease agreement with United Rentals, as was mentioned earlier. Well, for a number of different reasons, it appears as though that situation has been put on an indefinite hold and is not moving forward at this time. So the circumstances that prompted the application no longer exist at this time. And so with that in mind, if we could withdraw the application, we would prefer to do that so that we can have time and certainty to resolve any outstanding violations with the property. And that's all I have to offer at this time.
Just so we're clear, Mr. Stewart, are you, on behalf of your client, requesting to withdraw the application?
If it can't be tabled, then yes, we would prefer that it be tabled to give us no less than 30 days to meet with you and talk about some things and get clarification on issues and maybe get a little bit of time and a plan to address violations.
Whatever those violations, which you're correct, it's a separate issue, but certainly related to the termination of the application. But did I hear you say that the reason you submitted, or your client submitted the application for a conditional use permit, and no longer exists?
Well, as of now, that lease agreement has been put on indefinite hold. So in other words, the parties are not moving forward and progressing with regard to that.
So that means it's no longer going to occur, or it's being delayed for
indefinite period of time. Yeah, I mean, there's no active negotiations or discussions with regard to that. They're looking elsewhere.
Yeah. And you know, maybe this is a discussion for another time, but if the board was to grant the application, I'm not saying it is, just Chris England talking, actually, there'd actually be no way where you wouldn't be going through. I mean, there's no activity to allow for this third use.
That's correct. As far as what's requested specifically with United Rentals, you're correct.
Okay.
Unless something were to change with them, which as of now, it doesn't appear it's going to. But, you know, I can't say, I don't got a crystal ball like you guys don't. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. But right now, there's no active engagement between the parties and I represent Mr. Turanov in negotiating that lease.
Thank you, I was just clarifying.
No, that's fine, that's wonderful, I appreciate it, thank you very much.
All right, so I'm gonna throw this back at you. Mm-hmm. Either, do you wanna withdraw, would you prefer to withdraw this altogether, or table it?
We would prefer to table it, that's the first thing, because right. We know there are some violations out there, and we don't know what's gonna come up in the next 30 days. So if we could table it, that'd be great, but if we have to withdraw it, then we're willing to do that.
In your mind, what's the difference between withdrawal and table?
Well, actually, that's a fairly good question, I think. In the sense that we're not exactly sure what's gonna happen with another possible tenant, so there's a possibility that it might not be United Rentals, but somebody else that might fit the bill for a conditional use on the property, because the property is continuing to be marketed to people for leases. So I don't know if, you know, because of issues with United Rentals or because of alleged violations with the property.
So you'll be addressing with us and with the owner? Mr.
But here,
Turanov.
For different violations.
Well, here's the thing. The CU is in the applicant name is United Rentals, but they're no longer a player.
Right.
Tabling this is not gonna happen. Withdraw it. The options. Do they have to wait how long? They haven't been given a CU. How long do they have to wait?
They applied for it. They applied for the CU, though. It doesn't say it. They have to get, or you don't know.
All right.
It was application for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Even if they withdraw.
Yeah. I think your only option here would be to withdraw it. And yes, because you're going to have to wait a year to reapply for a CU. Because the applicant's name is United Rentals. If you get another business in there, you know, Joe Bags Pool Rental or whatever, mm-hmm. it'd be a different applicant. So
we have to go forward with this. There's really no option. Even if it's granted, there's not probably going to be that use of the property.
We're dealing with the United Rental.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are you're saying they have decided not to go forward?
Well, as far as I know, yeah.
So therefore, they have no interest at this moment?
No. I mean, we're not actively negotiating with them. We sent them a red line version of the lease. There were some disagreements. Is that correct? There were some disagreements, some things we couldn't resolve. And so with United Rentals, it's my understanding they're looking at other options for their facility. But I can't guarantee you, as I stand here today, that, you know, in 60 or 90 days, they might not come back and say, hey, your property is still the best property that we can find for what we want to do. Now, obviously, we have to work within your parameters, and that's what Mr. Turanov is intent upon doing. Prior to coming tonight, I looked at the zoning resolution. It says that a denial means you're foreclosed for 12 months, which was sort of the impetus for asking for a withdrawal, because we don't think that we can, there's no point to it anymore if the lease is just dead, mm-hmm. essentially.
So that's, you're in the territory I'm not familiar with. I can understand he applied, we denied 12 months for his next one. Mm-hmm. But he applied and is no longer, and
through
no fault of his own.
I don't know.
But he's doing the reason for the application is gone. So,
do we need a withdrawal request from him?
I'm trying to figure out when he can come back for a CU.
If I might. Speak to the board.
Yes,
again, Chris Ingram, Chief Civil Assistant Prosecutor, Miami County Prosecutor's Office. Under the zoning resolution, forgive me, I guess it'd be section 2.06. I guess it's B. Yeah, so it'd be, again, for the record, 2.06, section 2.06, Board of Zoning Appeals, paragraph B. I'm just going to read that out to the board. And for the record, any application for conditional use or appeal may be withdrawn by the applicant up to 7 days before the scheduled public hearing thereon. Such request must be in writing, signed by the applicant, and filed in the office of the zoning administrator holding such hearing. Such withdrawal shall void said application and cancel all future proceedings upon said application. If said withdrawal is not properly and timely filed, Article 2.05C, application frequency limitations shall apply to any future applications. In no case shall application fees, well, that talks about refunds of application fees and so on. So essentially the time to withdraw without the application frequency limitations applying has, apparently, this is my understanding, this is the second hearing on the case. So those have long since passed. So if what it boils down to is under 2.05C, and I'm unaware of what the application frequency limits are, to withdraw at this point, that limitation would apply, which I guess it's a year.
It's a year.
That's what would occur should it be withdrawn at this point.
But at the same time,
tabling doesn't make sense though because of the name of
the name of
Rentals on the application.
Yeah.
Yeah, the application would appear to be fatal to the passage of the.
Right. It's.
We can't ask for a conditional use.
You can't
for a business that's probably not going to be there.
Right. You can't do that.
So we can't even go forward on a generic basis and ask for a mixed use if we can't tell you what the property is going to be used for or what he wants to use it for.
Right, and again,
I would think if the purpose of the zoning resolutions is to do substantial justice, you know, when he was here in, I think it was early January 29th, I listened to the audio. The whole board was confused as to what his current use was.
Right.
That had to get resolved at that meeting. And then there was, and oddly enough, there was audio of somebody who called in. Somebody wrote a letter or something and called in. But the audio wasn't on the, I couldn't hear any of that when I went on your website and pulled up the audio. So I don't know what happened at that point. But I'm thinking that, you know, given that the negotiations with the tenant were ongoing, and only recently reached a dead point, what could we do? I mean, what were we supposed to do? We're not, I mean, if he's got outstanding violations, we're not going to be coming back in here saying, we want another conditional use if he's got violations of the property that aren't remedied.
Correct.
The whole point is to try to get them all fixed, whatever they are, but we haven't been really informed about what they are. So I don't know if there's any way that you could permit a withdrawal under these limited circumstances and not impose the penalty. I mean, I understand that's you're right under the zoning resolutions. I understand that. But I don't know if there's any option for any leeway in any of that.
Oh.
And he just wants to, you know.
What does he, are you saying, I need some clarification. Okay. First of all, we want to address the violations, and you don't know what they are.
Well, I only have received, he's only received one written notice of one violation, and that's set forth in the packet.
Right.
That was in 2025.
Did he resolve that?
We believe it has been resolved, but apparently there is a process or something you have to go through to resolve it, and I don't know what that is. There is even more confusion because, as I read, your zoning administrator, I believe, left at the end of last year.
Correct.
And then I saw that I think one of the trustees, I think the this gentleman here, I believe, right, was identified in the newsletter as the gentleman to deal with zoning issues, but my client tells me, and the emails I've seen have come from somebody with the last name of Dick that I don't know. So I don't know who's got authority to be talking about violations, if there's an investigation that goes into those. There's been, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Wait, if you would the like letter to. From the gentleman, what title did he use?
The letter in 2025, I pull up my phone.
No, the gentleman that you're 22 behind you. What was the title of his, what title did he use when he talked to you?
I'm sorry.
A zoning commissioner, what?
I didn't speak to anybody from zoning. I called twice and nobody returned my call.
I'm sorry.
So I haven't spoken with anybody. Mr. Turanov received a letter. He received a written notice of a violation in 2025. It was regarding trash on the property, and as far as we know, that's been picked up. But I guess you have to go through, I've just heard from some people, even though I haven't found it in your resolutions, there is apparently some way to clear a violation. And apparently we didn't do that, or he didn't do it. You know, like I said, I've been on this for 8 days, so I'm sort of...
You're doing a great job. Thank you.
I was going to say, in the packet here, it's the nuisance violation.
Mm-hmm.
It was accumulation of junk vehicles, dismantled vehicle parts, and debris.
Yeah.
And wasn't there something about a buffer, land buffer, too?
Not as a violation.
But we need to clear it up to make that compliant.
But he's also using it as a multi-tenant building.
The lawyer has a point in that they don't have any written notification of the violations on the multiple buildings.
The letter wasn't good enough?
The only one we got was regarding what you just described, the compilation of junk vehicles and those mm-hmm. sorts of things. But under your zoning resolution, it says that you must specify the exact nature of the violation and specify what needs to be done to remedy it. So part of the difficulty is we're like, we don't even know what to do. Is it a 40-foot buffer, a 20-foot buffer? What is it? We don't know. And so if we have that in writing from the board, then I can assist him and say, look, this is what we got to do. And we got to get it done in whatever, 60
but
days.
But it's part of our zoning, and I mean, they can look that up. They can look it up, what it is.
You're right, they can.
They can know that. So my question to you again is, if we withdrew, do they have to wait a year?
That's
if we keep. And how many times can we table it?
We can table it indefinitely, but the application still says United Rentals.
So
if the only way this application is going to continue to be good in what I'm understanding is if they come back with another deal with United Rentals.
If we work something out with them. Which could happen. I'm not, you know, I've been a lawyer for almost 30 years, seen a lot of things happen. So we could get a call tomorrow, but as of now, we're not actively negotiating this. But in order for him to be able to use the property, we got to know what's wrong with it. And yes, you're right, people can look it up,
mm-hmm.
but your resolutions specifically say it's the responsibility of the zoning administrator mm-hmm. to provide written notice of the exact violation and specify what needs to be done to remedy it.
I regret that our zoning person left in a huff, not a huff, but he had a much better situation than he was going to, and so he did not have a lot of time to...
But you can look under the zoning rules and find out what the rules are for your zoning, right?
Mm-hmm. But he's saying that our own resolution says the letter should provide all that. What the problem is, what's the remedy?
I think there were many problems with the property, and I think some of the problem was there were like three businesses, and this is one parcel.
That wasn't addressed.
It came up.
It did.
Before the BZA, and that's when they saw the violation.
Legally, he's never been given notice of the multi-business violation.
Well, even that, we've heard that it's multi-tenants in a building. And there's not multi-tenants in a building out there. There's actually three buildings, but one of which is in the process of being vacated because, you know, there was, okay, apparently there were issues with that tenant. But So is it?
Which building is being vacated?
The one, if you look, if you're facing the farthest to the left. The one that has the cars.
Car dealership.
So the car dealership's going.
That's going away. And that should happen maybe this month. He gave a notice to vacate premises. And I think it's like 60 days from now. So that would be no later than the end of, but it could be earlier.
Okay, but he was never given notice of this, but the discussion has been that the non-conforming business on that property is the heavy truck repair.
Right, which is another set of legal issues. That's why I would like the opportunity to talk to counsel about that, to see if we can find a way, you know, if we can agree on what the specific nature of the violation is, how we can remedy it, because I think everybody wants him to be able to use the property, but he wants to do it in a way that doesn't violate what the residents of Bethel Township.
He wants to be a good neighbor.
He wants to be a good neighbor, absolutely. He doesn't want to create problems or make things hard on you guys or, you know, make.
So if we withdraw, he can't do anything for it. He can't give it to another person. He cannot have another conditional use for it. How many times can we table it?
We can table it indefinitely, but we still have the problem of, again, United Rentals, and, correct me if I'm wrong, let's say we table it for 90 days. United Rentals does not come back. He's got another business, but then he's got to wait a year from the time that we...
Yeah, that's an issue. It's a risk that he takes by doing it.
Right. Whereas if we...
If he only has one business on the property,
but if he only has one business
on
the property and it conforms with,
then it conforms, and
then it conforms.
And
it conforms. You only need conditions.
Well,
which
no,
we will be
I'm,
glad to let you attend to you. We'll be glad.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I'm sorry for cutting you off. We'll be glad to give you all the violations, all the stipulations in a letter. I'm speaking for myself. I'm hoping that the trustees will go along with that, because we want him as a good neighbor. I want him to be a good neighbor to us.
Mm-hmm.
We want businesses. We want tax revenue. We want to have a compliant to our rules that we've got. And this is why I appreciate you being here and you flying all the way from Washington. I'm very sorry about your grandpa.
Thank you.
That was an issue last time. He was very sick.
I was in emergency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've had 9 deaths in 6 months.
Oh.
So I can appreciate that.
So
do we want to table it for 60 days, giving you the letter of what he can do in case United Rentals comes back? Or just withdraw and start the 12 months today?
Yeah, is it from the application date?
Is it 12 months from today or
that's
January 19th?
We just asked the same thing.
We tables for 60 days. Is it 12 months from then? Or is it 12 months?
No, from the application.
I would think. I would have to look that over to make sure.
There's
an
appeal process for that?
Chris, you have that.
Didn't you have that?
And if he tables
that.
I've read a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
06 or 07? I'm not sure if it's specified.
Application frequency limits. That's right underneath what I read before.
If it gets
according to section 2.06 C, application frequency limits for any parcel property or portion thereof, only one of the following applications shall be filed for consideration during any consecutive 12-month period: conditional use permit, which I guess, or change of use permit, or variances. Presumably it'd be 1 year. I can only assume 1 year from when it's either withdrawn, terminated, what have you. I guess it'd be
or if it's deemed ambiguous, then that would abound to his benefit, which might be the date of the application.
Ambiguous to the extent that I just don't see it right here. That doesn't mean there's not
some. There might be some other, right.
Some,
in the absence of another more specific provision. So, if you guys give us a couple 60 days, we'll try to get the property fixed. And if United Rentals is here, then you guys can deny it then if you want. If they're not here, then, you know, I mean, I understand people probably don't want porta potties. I sort of understand that. But, more important than anything is he wants to know what he has to do to make it right so that there's no more issues with you folks.
Exactly. So, my understanding is we will send him a letter. And speaking for me, hopefully it goes along with the trustees, the violations that we see. Mm-hmm. And we'll do whatever legalese that Mr. England tells us to do. You want it tabled for 60 days in case it United Rentals comes back.
Because we will advise them of what happened tonight.
Right. And number three, 20-year-old memory is going sharp. So we will list what we did, and then we will then have to decide if it's withdrawn or denied, when does the clock start? Or when did the clock start?
Does the 12 months run
in
from?
In a year.
It was the 12 months from the time you applied to 12 months to
application.
I would say the application.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
if I may, just so it's made clear, this board does not control the zoning violation. Mm-hmm. The zoning violation, mm-hmm. and they only have limited power. So they can't control what notices are sent to you as far as zoning violations or what have you. That's in the power of the trustees, and more specifically the designated zoning official, to provide to you. I just want to make that clear. They mm-hmm. can certainly table it. I mean, they have that right, unless there's some rule of the board, like for its own conduct, where they put a limit on that, which I doubt. Probably refers to Robert's Rules of Orders, which allows for constant, continuous tabling, but I just wanted to make sure to add that to the record.
Of course,
the prosecutor's office, to remind the board, can only recommend and advise us the legal courses. We can't make you do anything or what have you. We, like any other attorney, just like Mr. Stewart, he can only recommend to his client what they can do. It's ultimately up to the client.
Mm-hmm.
To decide what to do.
Am I correct then in that the trustee who's been appointed for zoning issues would be Mr. Wilkerson?
That's correct.
Trustee, is that correct? Okay.
That's correct.
So then if there is going to be a letter, it would presumably come from him.
I would think so. It would come from him, yes.
Okay.
But
that's outside
the
of our
purview.
Outside of our purview.
The board actually still has to act at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still do. I get that. But in all fairness, he ought to be given, as you said, clarify what his violations are. And the resolution does indeed say that we're supposed to say how we want, what to do, or how they should be remedied.
Not us,
but I'm saying the letter should, per the resolution, specify.
We just need to decide if we're tabling this or if we're accepting a withdrawal of the application.
The board can also, if I may, choose to act upon it. I mean, it's under no obligation to allow for the withdrawal. It's under no obligation to table it. I mean, if the board wants to go ahead and act, it certainly can.
Act as what?
Make a decision.
Yeah. Approve or deny.
Please understand, I'm not recommending any particular course of action.
Sure.
I'm merely saying
but
for the legal.
We can put it to a vote, approve or deny. He would be eligible to come back for if he needs. Whatever he chooses to do when he leaves, if he's going to leave his property.
It would be the same for whether it was, even if he withdrew it would still be the
same
1 year, right?
Same 1 year.
So whether we approved or denied, it would be, yeah.
That's for multi businesses. He just wants one business on the 5 acres.
He can do it, right.
If it fits light industrial, it's not stopping.
But
if he wants a multi, then he has to come
back. He has to come back.
Yeah.
But like I said, under the current application, it's
mm-hmm.
specifically United Rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like there's still a negotiation, but it doesn't.
I mean, how do you determine when the patient's dead?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no movement. there's no active discussions, and in real estate, as most people know, strike while the iron's hot. Mm-hmm. Because once it gets cold, people sort of go their own way.
Right, and from what I've seen in prior cases here, he says it right. The iron got cold.
If the 12 months starts from the application date, mm-hmm. you agree on the application date of that, not today's date.
Is that what the resolution?
It would all come down to what the resolution.
Right.
Does the zoning resolution say for the application date?
Okay.
All right.
Motion to approve, or we have that?
Are we going to table it, or are we going to vote on it?
I would say vote on it.
Motion would have to be made.
I will make the motion. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. All right.
You guys have any questions for Mr. Turanov?
If we table it for 30 days.
He thinks he probably need more than 30 to fix the problems.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know yet, but...
I mean, if...
Like I said, I'm... Honestly,
but United Rentals is probably out of the picture.
Yeah, I'm
I was
saying,
only giving United Rentals.
I think they're out of the picture.
I'm just going to give them.
Because like I said, we've had some similar cases, and basically, when something like this happens, they're like, drop the rock and go.
Because they're a great company. I looked at their paperwork.
I did too.
They're very international.
They're a great company.
And that's why I was going to say, just give them 30 days. To case United Rentals come and come back. And if they say no, then the year would start the day of the application.
Yeah, by that point, they're going to have definitely found another spot.
Right. That's what I want to say, because I want to be a good neighbor. And I love entrepreneurs. That's what made the United States great.
Amen.
So do you have any problem with the tablet just for 30 days? Now that doesn't take care of the multi-nations or issues. It just gives them family law.
Well, we don't even, we have no idea what
the
nature. The
trustees will send you a letter.
Yeah, so we'd have to get the letter, look at it, and then try to figure out maybe if we could work out a plan to get everything taken care of in 60 days or something like that. That would give me the opportunity to reach out to United Rentals and say, hey, we could maybe revive the baby. Maybe. I don't know. You know.
He's saying 60 days, not 30.
I say from what needs to be done, it's 30 days is not enough.
Yeah.
If we're going to table it, I would say we need to consider a 60-day table.
And if the board were to
consider... We could still deny...
I'm sorry?
We can still deny time, too.
It's still pending. I mean, and they're not out there. They're not using the property. I mean, United Rentals isn't out there.
Right.
So if you give him 60 days to try to fix everything up, I mean, that's really all we're asking for at this time, because we've heard the violations prevent the approval of the use permit. But we don't know what to fix.
Well, that's a good challenge. So I'm sorry, I would like to have 30, 60 days just to see. That doesn't mean I'm going to vote yes when they come back.
I understand. Absolutely.
Right. Like I said, I don't really think the violations, by the time they go through the process, get notified, 30 days is not going to be enough.
So do you want us to withdraw, or do you want us to table? What is your suggestion?
Well, if the effect of a withdrawal is that it is denied and it starts that 12-month period, then we would like a table even for 30 days so that he can demonstrate to the board his good faith effort to do what you folks have asked. Because even if it doesn't benefit for United Rentals, he's going to be back in front of you. He's going to have other people on the property. And that's what we've talked about. The purpose is to create a long-term, cooperative, mutually respectful relationship between a landowner and the people that regulate. because you represent the people, the residents of Bethel Township. That's what he's trying to do.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying is, I'm going to give you the time, just in case. I don't think they're going to come back, but, and even if they come back, we may not say yes.
Understood.
But you will have time to get your letter of, I'm speaking again for me. I'm hoping that the trustee will send you a letter with all the minute violations, and I hope they're very minute, so that, because I did see some improvement when I made a site visit today.
Oh, okay.
And I took pictures. And I wanted to know why you have like four or five little sheds.
They were there when I got them. The one that between the buildings, two of them?
That there's three there. I thought there was three, and then there's one by the car.
It's two.
It's only two?
Yeah.
I couldn't count. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were there.
They were there
when Sal
had it.
Mm-hmm. And because if they, like I said, I may not say yes to Ignite Drought, but I want to give you as a neighbor a chance. Doesn't mean I'm going to say yes when it comes back.
We understand that, but you retain your autonomy to make your decision. Absolutely.
I guess I have a question for the county attorney, but maybe this is out of turn, but if we vote and deny it, the appeal authority would go to Miami County Court? Is that?
An appeal of a BZA decision would go to the Miami County Court of Common Pleas under Ohio Revised Code Chapter 2506 and 2505. Chapters, I should say.
Would that address the violations?
It would merely address, well, of course, I can't speak to whether they actually be appealed, you know, so anything I would say would be conjecture, but it would be an appeal of the board's decision. Which would come, it would be, so if the board, I'm just saying, for instance, denied it and it was appealed by the applicant, it would be because the board denied the decision and it'd be argued in court. Essentially, whether there was enough evidence to support the board's decision.
Just so that the board knows, our position is that absent any violations, this would be suitable. That United Rentals would be suitable, that it would fall as a permissive use under the requirements set forth in the resolution. That's not a statement about whether or not there would be any appeal. Our primary issue is that you're telling us there's stuff wrong. And we're like an exasperated kid, like, okay, what do we have to do to make you happy? Right. You know, it's frustrating.
Right. So we can either withdraw or table, whatever you guys want to go.
And just for, so it's clear for the record, that the Miami County Prosecutor's Office, of course, would represent the BZA through the entire process. I mean, appeal to the Miami County Court of Common Pleas, to the Second District if it went that far. Ultimately, if it needed to go, I'm not saying it would, of course. I'm just saying we are, under the law, would represent the board as far to the extent necessary.
So the board would be sued, but not the individuals?
Again, I can't speak for what kind of action might be filed, but yes, generally the board would be sued as a body. The board members would be pretty much exempt from suit. But again, can't speak for what would actually be filed.
All right.
I can't predict the future any more than Mr. Stewart can.
All right. How about this? In the name of giving him the best chance, I make a motion that we table it for 60 days.
Would that be, the reason I'm bringing this up is, to my understanding, 60 days may not actually be fall on a particular date for the board's meeting, so would that be, what, the board meets every month?
Every fourth Thursday,
so it'd be, what, that would make it roughly the
April 23rd.
There's two meetings
March,
from now.
It would be April
24th.
And by that time, the car dealer should be out. So one violation would be remedied.
That'll be one business off. Well, it sounds like.
At that point, he would have one tenant on the, because he's the owner, the only tenant.
He should have one tenant, which would be the heavy truck repair.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that because I saw that your resolution says that truck repair is a permitted use.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, then I looked at, not to get into, you know, arguments and all, but then I looked at the definition of truck and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, that if that issue becomes, if that raises its head, then we'll deal with it at that time. But yes, you're right. The truck repair would be the only other business there.
But that, my understanding is that comes on the heavy truck.
That's where lawyers argue.
Right. But I think the other issue was the parking, the paid parking.
First I've heard of that was today.
Well, that's what we were briefed that there was paid parking, they're not.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Semi-parking, there's not paid semi-parking there.
Is there paid semi-parking?
Are you saying paid or paid?
Paid.
Oh, paid.
Paid to park.
Paid to park.
Oh, yes.
Park their tractor trailer.
I have a picture of that sign.
Conditional use.
Yeah.
I have a picture of that sign.
That would be a conditional use approved for, you have to have a conditional use approved to, for big truck parking.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was part of your truck terminal.
Those are not all my trucks.
I was saying, because he's got a an approved conditional use for a transfer terminal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I need to know, we need to know what the law is.
But the, is a conditional use for the transfer terminal. Not for the car lot, not for the heavy truck repair, not for the rented spot, for, you know, paid to park your tractor trailer.
Yeah, I honestly don't know anything about that. I haven't had a chance to look into that.
Okay.
I don't know where that is in the zoning resolution. I'm not sure, so I can't speak to it.
But the sign says $150 per parking space.
Is that for semis?
Yeah.
Then the other sign was only was the car. Car rental, but I didn't see a sign on the back barn, back building.
There's no sign.
Yeah, because I didn't think that.
That was supposed to be part of what United Rentals was going to.
Yeah. You can take over, yeah. Awful lot of balls in the air.
I interrupted the point that a motion was being made to table it for what amounts to the next.
To the next meeting.
To the meeting after the next meeting, I guess.
Meeting
two
after
meetings.
The next meeting.
Yeah, two meetings.
56 days.
It's 56 days, so it would fall within the 60-day parameter that you could table it for no more than 60 days if we wanted to say something of that and put then put in the date of the April 23rd meeting, which would be 56 days.
But here again, there's no guarantee we will say yes or no at the end of the, at the April meeting.
Well, it all depends on United Rental.
Right.
It depends on United Rental.
It depends on United Rental, and it also
then
depends on remedying the violations at the property. So
they have to remedy the violations.
It's possible that we could.
United Rental may or may not
come back.
May or may not come back.
And it's possible that if he can't get the things remedied, we just withdraw it. But we do it, what, 8 days before the hearing or whatever. And then you guys don't have to deal with it. So, I mean, that's, you know, we just got to wait and see what's going to happen, at least from our perspective. We're not trying to bamboozle anybody. That's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah. All right. I will make a motion to table this until the April 23rd BZA meeting.
Any seconds?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded to continue the case till April 23rd, which is 56 days. It's case conditional use 01.26 from United Rental for a retail business in a multi-tenant property located 8765 State Route 201 to City, Ohio. Mrs. Hughes?
Yes.
Ms. O'Quinn?
Yes.
Ms. Kiplinger?
Yes.
Mr. Leskowitz?
Leskowitz.
Leskowitz, I can put your name.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Motion's been made and seconded and approved. 4-2. We'll see you 56 days from today.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for your consideration and listening to what we offered. Mr. Engler?
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We have to approve minutes.
Donna?
We're trying to approve minutes.
Who's in the second?
She said approve minutes, I'll second.
Okay.
What's the first and second?
Approve minutes.
Okay.
I know, who was it? She motioned, I seconded.
Kiplinger?
Yes.
Leskowitz?
Yes.
Sandwich.
Okay, let's see.
Russian, actually.
Russian, okay.
Well, we don't make you.
Excuse me, the meeting is not over yet.
Could we, like, hold it down?
Finish calling the vote on the minutes.
Myself?
So what now? Everybody vote.
Everybody voted.
Everybody voted yes.
Okay, of us.
Okay.
Come on, call the meeting.
Second.
Okay.
Wait, we have more. All in favor?
Yes.
Who were the motions?
Donna.
Attorney Stewart. Michelle Frost.
Nikki, second.
Well, that's been, yeah.
Nikki, don't ever be asked.